Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dive into the top stories and conversations from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2026, and this is episode 477. We are covering the biggest hits from yesterday, August 3rd.
We have got a very AI-heavy lineup today, which makes a lot of sense given the current landscape. We are going to talk about why you should not be a meat proxy at work, a wild story about AI-generated security vulnerabilities targeting SQLite, how large language models actually reward deep expertise, a quick look at the new QN 3.8 Max model, and a provocative piece arguing that all developer tools must now be open source.
Let us jump right in. Our first story comes from a blog post by N. Grun titled, "Don't Be a Meat Proxy." It got over 1,700 points yesterday, so it really struck a nerve with the community.
It really did. The author is venting about a very specific, very modern annoyance. You ask a question in Slack, or you leave a code review comment, and the person replies with a giant verbatim copy and paste of what Claude said.
Right. The author is basically pleading with people to stop doing this. If I wanted to talk to Claude, I would just open my own tab. It's faster, and I get to control the context. When you just pass messages back and forth without reading them, you are just acting as a meat proxy.
And the reading part is crucial. AI output can be incredibly verbose, full of jargon, and sometimes it just contains plausible nonsense. The author gave an example of getting a dense sentence about NATS control plane events and pod churn that required looking up almost every single word just to make sense of it.
The comments on this were fantastic and honestly a bit depressing. One user, EddieThompson80, said they deal with this all day long. People will just dump a 300-line Claude response and say, "Hey, can you read this and see if it is right?" They expect other engineers to do the actual reading and comprehension for them.
Yeah, another commenter mentioned a guy at their company who generated thousands of lines of AI documentation across their whole stack and is now making hundreds of people review it for him. They called it complete brain rot.
There was a great term floating around in the comments too, slopperator. Instead of a developer, you have people whose entire workflow is prompt, copy-paste, paste the error back, and try again without engaging their brain at all. Some people in the industry are calling this agentic engineering, but as one commenter pointed out, it is really just being a slower, worse agent yourself.
I think a lot of it comes down to insecurity. One commenter noted that mediocre engineers who used to find asking questions painful can now hide behind AI-generated content. They just get trapped in this loop of prompt and paste until they actually have to interact with a human.
That flows perfectly into our next story, which is a post by Sean Godaday called LLMs Reward Expertise. It got almost 700 points. Sean makes a really counterintuitive point here that pushes back against the meat proxy behavior.
Exactly, because LLMs can help anyone write sort of okay CSS or basic code. People assume there is no skill involved anymore. They think the skilled prompter and the total novice get the exact same results because they are talking to the same model.
But Sean argues that is completely wrong. The most important skill in prompting is actually your domain expertise. He uses Terence Tao, the genius mathematician, as an example. Tao recently used ChatGPT to help explore a counterexample to the Jacobian conjecture.
And Sean points out that Tao's conversation with the AI does not look like a normal person's prompt history. Tao uses very short messages. He shunts the model into a talking to mathematicians mode by signaling his expertise. When the model is wrong, Tao does not just say, "You are wrong." He says something like, "This looks more complex than I was hoping for."
Tao can do that because he actually understands the math. He knows what a good solution should look like. Sean says this applies to programming too. If you know your codebase intimately, you can steer the LLM much harder. You can say, "Wait, do we not already do this over here? Or can we simplify this architecture?"
A commenter named Chrisoft shared a perfect anecdote about this. They watched a non-technical friend try to build a simple web app with an LLM. Chrisoft thought the AI would just guide her through it, but instead, because she lacked the basic vocabulary to ask for an HTML file or a server, they got stuck in a 1.5-hour loop of brainstorming features.
Right, the AI just kept making things more complicated. Whereas an expert would have just said, "Write me an HTML page that does X, Y, and Z," and been done in one prompt. It really shows that human expertise is the bottleneck right now. You need to know what to ask for, and you need to be able to evaluate what it gives you.
Speaking of what happens when you do not evaluate AI output, Our third story is a wild piece of security research from JFrog titled SQLite Critical CVEs, or LLM Slop. This got over 700 points, and it is honestly a little scary.
A newly created GitHub repo published a batch of SQLite vulnerability advisories recently. NVD, the National Vulnerability Database, quickly flagged them as critical. One of them even got a 10.0 critical severity score from Red Hat initially.
But when JFrog researchers dug in to verify them, the whole thing fell apart. The cited code did not even exist in the SQLite versions mentioned. The proof-of-concept payloads did not trigger any crashes. And none of these were listed on SQLite's official advisory page, which is the gold standard for tracking their bugs.
When JFrog ran the advisories through an AI detector, it lit up immediately. It turns out of 55 advisories published by this account, 54 were completely fabricated AI slop.
They went through the CVEs one by one. One claimed a use after free vulnerability in a function called expert compute operands that literally did not exist in that version of SQLite. Another claimed a patch was issued in a specific version, but the commit history showed absolutely no changes to that file.
How does this even happen on such a massive scale? Well, the MITRE public form for CVE submission does not have strict identity verification. And historically, NIST acted as a safety net and manually analyzed these. But back in early 2024, NIST got overwhelmed by the sheer volume of reports and had to pause deep analysis. Now, plausible-sounding fake advisories can just slide right through the fragmented pipeline.
The Hacker News comments were brutal on this one. A user named Gortok pointed out that LLMs are probabilistic text prediction engines, not intelligence. When you deal with security vulnerabilities, you need certainty, not probability.
And the fallout is massive. Think about how many enterprise scanners picked up these fake critical CVEs, and how many engineering hours were wasted trying to patch vulnerabilities that do not even exist. As one commenter said, people are taking advantage of the AI craze to artificially inflate their own value, and the rest of us are paying the price in wasted productivity.
Moving on to our fourth story, we had a major model release drop yesterday. Qwen 3.8 Max was announced, and the post got over 1,000 points. Qwen has been on an absolute tear lately, and this 3.8 Max model is specifically being positioned as a new bar for coding and cowork.
What is really interesting is that term cowork. We are moving past AI as just an autocomplete tool, and into this era where the model acts as an active collaborator in your workspace.
It is funny, our scraper actually had a hiccup pulling the comments for this one. The only text it pulled from the top comments was the word sorry. But looking at the broader community discussion yesterday, people were in almost stunned silence at the benchmarks.
Yeah, developers are blown away by how capable these models are becoming, especially in handling complex multi-step coding tasks. It is getting to the point where the gap between the proprietary frontier models and the open weight ecosystem is razor thin. People are starting to rely on these models for serious heavy lifting, treating them like junior developers sitting right next to them.
That reliance on open models ties directly into our final story today, a blog post from xe.dev titled DevTools Must Be Open Source. This one grabbed over 500 points.
The author David Crawshaw makes a really compelling argument about how AI agents are fundamentally changing the way we customize software. 5 years ago, if you wanted a text editor to have a specific feature, you had to hope it had a massive complex plugin system or configuration file.
Because learning a huge code base just to tweak one little thing for yourself was an unreasonable time investment, you would never dive into the core code of Vim just to change how line numbers display.
Exactly. But now things are different. David argues that it is astonishingly easy to personalize software today if you have the source code. You just tell your AI agent, download this tool, figure out how it works, and change it so it does what I want.
He gives a great example of a tool he built called Meet.dev. It uses LLMs to strip out the boring boilerplate from code diffs so he can just focus on the meat of the review, the important architectural changes. He wanted this built directly into his primary interface, Shelly.
Instead of wrestling with a complex extension API, he just gave his agent a single prompt. He told it to build the tool into Shelly, run it in the background on new commits, and add a toggle button to the UI. The agent just edited the source code directly and did it. It even added a little steak emoji for the toggle button.
And David points out that you can even set up a cron job for the agent to fetch upstream updates, rebase your personal changes on top of them, and test that it still works. the agent manages the synchronization entirely on its own.
Because of this, he says whole categories of software products need to be reinvented. Why would an engineering team purchase an extremely configurable task manager or CRM and contort their team to its limits when they can just have an agent assemble the exact features they want from open source building blocks?
The comments were really on board with this vision. Simon W. mentioned that the original dream of open source was the freedom to examine and modify how your software works. But historically, the time commitment was just too high for most people.
Right, but now Simon W. says he regularly prompts Claude to clone a GitHub repo and explain how it works. Getting software to compile used to be a massive friction point, but now he just tells Codex or Claude to check out and build the code, and he comes back 10 minutes later to see how it did.
Another commenter mentioned they removed 14 dependencies from a project just by asking the AI what it would take to remove them, and then telling it to go ahead and do it. We are entering a world where software is fluid, and everyone can have bespoke, personalized tools, as long as the source code is open.
It really feels like we are crossing a threshold in how we interact with code, from avoiding being a meat proxy, to leveraging your own domain expertise, to personalizing your entire tool chain with autonomous agents.
Just make sure you are not generating fake CVEs along the way.
Exactly. Always verify. That is all we have for you today on HN Pod. Thank you so much for listening.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and insights from Hacker News. Until then, keep hacking.